His body was exhausted. His energy is depleted. The life forces were draining out of him. He had been beaten until his back was just torn, bruised flesh. Blood ran down his face from the crown of thorns that had been pressed into his brow. Carrying the heavy cross through the streets of Jerusalem had been more than he could handle. And he staggered and fell under the crush of it. They picked someone from the crowd to carry the cross the rest of the way up the hill of Calvary to Golgotha. But after that, he was on his own. For they nailed him to that cross and left him there to die. It was just a human body that they nailed to the cross that day, a body like yours or mine, a body that could experience pain and agony and hurt. It was just flesh and blood, and how much torment could it take? So at last he bent his head and the tears flowed down his cheeks to mingle on his face with the dust of the road and the sweat of his body and the blood of his veins. And then he gave a sigh and he died. That was God. Truly God, yes, but also truly man. And he died. Time seemed to stay its hand for just a moment. History paused in its onward rush. The sun had hidden its face, and the earth trembled, and the men who saw it caught their breath as one of them whispered, "Truly, this was the Son of God." But time moved on in its endless ebb and flow. History engulfed and washed over the events. The sun came out again and the birds sang once more and the flowers bloomed. But the world would never be the same again. It would never be the same because that day God died. He died for me. He died for you. He took our place. The Bible says a wonderful thing. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." It says another wonderful thing. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." And it keeps on saying incredible things like that. It says, "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." And I'm ungodly, and he died for me. Isn't that amazing? That's a kind of grace you can count on. In Tom Hardy's classic book, Tests of the D'Urbervilles, Hardy has Tess as a young bride, gambling her happiness, her very future, on her new husband's power to be gracious, to be forgiving. She risks everything by telling him on her wedding night about a tragic mistake in her past relationship with another man. And as she confesses, her husband's body stiffens, his lips become tight, his dry eyes freeze in a blank stare. He has no grace powerful enough to forgive. She gambled on his love and lost. Confession is a gamble on grace. Confession in which one bares his soul, exposes his heart, makes himself vulnerable, is a gamble on grace. But confession at the foot of the cross is a gamble on grace that wins. For greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Have you gambled on grace? Have you cast everything before the foot of the cross in a gigantic gamble that God loves and God forgives? You may remember some years ago, a group of so-called Christian theologians began to proclaim a theology that God was dead. These incredible persons were admitting that Jesus was God, but he had been crucified, and now we lived in a godless world. However good he may have been, and however well-meaning he was, he had been crucified, and he was dead. We are alone, they said. We're left all alone. All alone with a system of teachings about life and about relationships, but nothing else. God himself is dead. We are all alone in the universe. In many ways, it would seem that was so, would it not? His teachings are wonderful. His life an incredible example. But Jesus is dead. But you know, there's a second great fact about this Jesus. You see, the Bible not only tells us that he died, and we have before us the evidence, the remembrance, the memorial of it. His body broken, his blood shed. Yes, he died. But the Bible tells us he also lives. St. Paul put it this way, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And as the angel put it on Easter morning, he is not here. He is not here. He is risen. We serve a living Lord. Roald Amundsen was a great Norwegian explorer. He discovered, if you remember your history books, the magnetic meridian of the North Pole. He was the one who discovered the South Pole. And on one of his trips, Amundsen took a homing pigeon with him. And when he reached the top of the world, he opened the bird's cage and set it free. And back in Norway one day, his wife, from her doorway, suddenly saw the pigeon circling to land, and she cried out to her family about her husband. He is alive! He is alive! In a far grander sense, God sends the Holy Spirit. Christ alive in our hearts. We know that upon the cross, upon Golgotha, God did indeed die and take the place of each of us. And yet in our hearts, as we feel the power and the tug of the Holy Spirit, we can cry out, He is alive. He is alive. Before us is a memorial to the day God died. He reminds us that when we gamble on God's grace in Jesus, we cannot lose. But it also reminds us that not only did he die, but that he is a living Lord. For as St. Paul taught us, do this in remembrance of him until he comes again. Whoever you are this morning, I invite you to gamble on God's grace and to bet your life on Jesus. Let us pray.